For the past 2 years, I've been secretly recording my boyfriend.
What a donkey, Oliver.
Now, after 100 episodes, he's found out.
I secretly recorded my boyfriend. Now it's a podcast. Me.
Hear this whole saga come to a climax from Wednesday, 26th of August.
So how long has this been going on for?
Search I Secretly Recorded My Boyfriend wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never even heard of a bleeding podcast, Joma.
Hello, and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that has the biggest adventures. And this week, we're going to be talking about fat girl adventures.
Yeah! I'm Hayley from Curves and Curls, and I'm going to need a bigger boat.
Oh. I'm George from Fill a Figure, Fill a Bust. And while I've got your attention, I'd just like to publicly apologise to Australia and New Zealand for all of that extreme sport adventure stuff I put you through 12 years ago. I am so sorry.
They're still recovering from what I know.
I know.
Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine. And to be honest, I love an adventure, but you will never, ever find me camping.
Good girl.
And if you're hungry for some more fat chat at the end of this episode, don't forget to head to our Patreon. The link is in our episode notes and you can sign up and you'll get instant access to loads more Fat Chat content. And don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
This is the second part of what we started last week, which was our Planes, Trains and Automobiles episode. So this was just going to be the second part. As we were prepping it, we realised, wow, we have still got so much more to say about this topic. So we will be actually doing a third travel podcast, who knows, maybe a fourth, all about like beach holidays and things like that. But today we are more talking about arriving at the destination, adventure holidays, theme parks, things like that. So this is our second parter. There will be more.
When you're plus size, do you think it makes holidays like really different? Are there certain activities that you can't do or where it kind of suddenly makes you really aware of your body?
I think so. Like we said last week, even with the traveling, it's kind of like the unknown in your general life, you know, where you fit and how comfortable certain things are. As soon as you get, especially in that like adventure-y sport space or into like doing things you haven't done before, there's just, when you're bigger, there's this fear of breaking things or just not fitting, having to squeeze your enormous backside into a kayak, for example. Like all of those things, I think, are stuff that can cause a bit of anxiety and nervousness for the intrepid plus size traveler.
I definitely have experienced that, particularly during my year of traveling around Australia and New Zealand. I try to do every single adventure thing. We're talking skydives, bungee jumps.
Wow.
Black water rafting.
You are brave.
Through a trip. Yeah, I mean, I just tried to do it all. And even Robbie and I, we went on our honeymoon and we did a few more adventure-y things as well. We did sea kayaking. So I've done things where I've had to be weighed. I've actually had my weight written on my hand for like bungee jumps and skydives, because for the bungee jump they have to know what to adjust the cord to because they've got a heavier weight coming off the end of it, and I didn't want to go to the bottom of the lake that you bungee jump over. And then, for example, I on our honeymoon I went snorkeling over the Great Barrier Reef. You wear a life jacket to do that. They take you off the main yacht, they put you on a little dinghy, they take you further out onto the reef, and then they take you back. And I suddenly got to the boat and I saw, how does everyone get back in? Oh, he pulls them back in by their life jackets. And I just thought, I'm here now. I am.
He's like, oh great, here comes Moby Dick. Yeah. And I've got to start grab her by the tail and haul her back onto the boat.
Well, before that happened, I thought, I live here now. Like, I live in the Great Barrier Reef. There is no way this little 20-something-year-old 8-stone fella is going to get me back in the boat. But he managed to. It was like they we said before, when women can lift cars off babies, he managed to dig deep, grab my life jacket and then throw himself back into the boat whilst grabbing me. So I did land on top of him, the poor guy. Yeah, you know, I felt my weight keenly at all those moments. I still did everything, but I felt my weight, I saw my weight, I was my weight with a man under me.
I mean, you know. How does one follow with that? But I mean, all I'm going to say is just don't get me started on those sodding life jackets. I mean, I do like an adventure, not as much as George. And I'm, you know, I'm generally quite up for adventure on holiday. A lot of the trips I've been on recently have been with strangers because I go on press trips. You go with other journalists and, you know, it's amazing. You get to see amazing things, do fantastic things. We were going banana boating and the guy is handing out the life jackets and then he's making sure they're really secure and he's like zipping them all up and everyone else is quite slender figured and then he comes to me and zips mine up and it like gives me sort of page three girl style cleavage and yes. He just went gotta get the tacos in there and I was like cool, in Mexico, good times. And I was like, we're strangers. And it was funny and like everyone I was with, we all looked at each other, we all laughed. It wasn't, you know, malicious in any way. He was quite a flamboyant tour guide, but it was just this moment where you could very keenly aware of your tits being squished together.
Being called, I'm sorry, tacos.
I now call them tacos, so you know, it's breeded a new phrase.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had my breasts referred to as tacos. However, in Thailand, I think I've said this before, they were referred to as big milks.
Yes.
So that was was interesting. Yeah, the big milks. Here they are.
Whoa!
Thailand, for me, one of the more daunting things. So I've done some adventure-y stuff. One of the things for me where, like, I really felt my size was I went to Bangkok and a really good friend was living there at the time. And obviously you get the traditional tuk-tuks and stuff like that. But actually the cheapest mode of transport is there are loads of guys with these little moped motorcycle things. And you just get on the back and they take you wherever you're going. But they are tiny. The bikes are tiny. And then my fat ass is getting on the back of it. Firstly, the most impressive thing ever is pretty much all the women who live there sit side saddle like Victorian ladies. They are literally on the back of a little motorbike zipping through traffic.
Sometimes sat holding side on to kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes sat with side a kid in their
saddle. Wow.
And my friend, we were quite the pair because she was like, she's super tall. She's like 6 foot. So that already makes her like an object of curiosity. And then I'm like fat and have gigantic red hair. But she was like a very tall but very slender. So she just sat side saddle. I tried this for like a second and was like, this is not going to happen. I'm going to have to straddle this bitch. Like, so I am pressed up against this poor man who holding on to him because also nobody holds on. They just kind of, I don't know, got their Kindle out, having a little reading. It's so fucking crazy. And I get on and I just feel the whole thing kind of go like vunk as the suspension could not. Anyway, this was the way. And every time I would get like the places where the motorbikes go from and they're all like sitting there just waiting to take a fare. They'd see me coming and you could see them just being like, oh, Jesus. Here she goes. Oh,
it's because they can hear the screams of their friends still imprinted on your inner thigh where he hadn't been untangled himself.
Also, they're like, I was hoping I'd get a couple more 100 miles out of this baby before I had to service her. But looks
and
like we're
about you
on
the bike.
I like to think they still talk about those journeys with their friends.
I like to think there's a podcast in Thailand
called yeah. dedicated
bike
to
chat.
This.
They're talking about this exact story.
Yeah, how many bikes were lost to that sort of crazy Christmas that I was out there. But yeah, I definitely really, really felt it. And I was kind of like, this is the way that we get around. This is what I'm doing. You know, I was traveling for quite a long time, so money really matters. So I was like conscious of budget and stuff like that. But it was quite intimidating. I'm not sure I'd do it now.
No.
I'm gonna be perfectly honest.
I think that I about just, my traveling, like, would I do it now?
So while at the time it didn't stop me, there are definitely some things I possibly wouldn't do now. Have there ever been any times where your body has actively stopped you from doing something, do you think?
You know how like we have really funny conversations and then I kind of wade in with like my miserable like teenage stories where I'm just like, right, everyone, get out your tiny violins.
But I love it because that is the experience of so many people, Riv. Mm-hmm.
I know. I love so basically when I was, I must have been like, I don't know, 14, 15 at summer camp and we'd gone to Western Super Nightmare. Actually, I really liked Western. I loved Western Supermare. I did, as a general thing, have a really lovely day when I went. Obviously, only went the once. I was like 14 with a bunch of friends at summer camp and we went to the sort of pier fairgroundy thing that there is there. And we were all going to go on this ride And I, do you know what? It wasn't that I couldn't get into the chair. I didn't even get to fucking try. I couldn't get through the barrier because the barrier was so small. And so decided that I was just like, oh, I don't want to go on this. I'm going to go do something else. And I covered it up because obviously I was a teenager where you're super awkward about absolutely fucking everything anyway. But this was particularly horrible. And then I just held everyone's bags whilst they all went on. And I was like, oh, I just don't want to go on it. That's my sad violin story for today, guys.
It is sad though. It is hard. I had like a really similar experience. I went to Chessington World of Adventure with a bunch of friends. It must have been about, I don't know, 10 years ago now or something. And I was nowhere near as big as I am now, but I have a bigger lower tummy. That's like just where my weight really concentrates. Thanks. Shout out to PCOS, polycystic ovaries.
Are they sponsoring this podcast, aren't they?
Those fuckers. They've given me nothing but grief. And I had the same sort of thing. Like I was going on one of those rocking boat rides and they have the sort of like harness things that come down and snap over you, and they could not get mine to snap into place. And I was on the ride and some of my friends who weren't going on the ride were stood watching, and then I had to get up and leave the ride in front of everybody. And I felt so humiliated. It was really embarrassing. But at the same time, looking back on it now, I'm like, I am not the biggest person by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. So it's them. They have not made a ride that caters for the sort of people that live in the world. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It was really, really tough. And it definitely put like a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like how you would have dealt with it 10 years ago versus how you would deal with it now. And I imagine Hayley 10 years ago, that would have been something you would have thought about week upon week or month upon month, which I hate the idea.
It haunted me for a while, and I think it just makes you feel like your body is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it can't do what the other bodies are doing, which is really tough.
I've definitely felt that about my body, feeling that it's wrong. I've done all these extreme sports. I've been whitewater rafting in Australia. I've done all sorts of things. It was actually something I did in the UK, which I guess I could have done in any country. I want to say 3 years ago now, that like is the most horrific like thing where I've really felt my size.
I'm still traumatized by your reenactment of it to me on voice note. I'm still
no Hayley, it wasn't voice note. We drove past it one day in the car because every time I go, it's on the M25, every time I go past it, this place, I won't name them, but like I see it and I go
name and shame.
No, so it was basically a man-made whitewater rafting course, so they have certain points where they know that like there's a current, there's already a natural current, everything. And like even before I did it, I thought, I don't really want to do this. I didn't really want to be, it wasn't the closest group of friends, I didn't really want to be in a wetsuit with them. They took one look at me and then got a bigger different color life jacket for me. Like the people who work there, you basically, they want you to fall in the water almost. Like I feel like when I did it in Australia, they don't want you to fall in, they just want you to ride the rapids. Here they do this thing where they tip the boat and it fills with water, and then you do fall in.
I fucking hate that.
I'm still mad. I was so terrified. First of all, they make you jump in and test that you can swim and save yourself, and I couldn't do that. So I had to do it again in front of all of my friends because they were like, otherwise you can't do it. At that point, I should have been like, well, I can't do it. Then every time I fell in, I was just so scared. I was so worried about my size. I was so worried I'd get trapped under the water. I was so worried no one would be able to grab me out. One of my friends, he's a fireman and was doing it, he fell in at the same time as me. I genuinely would have climbed onto the top of his head, drowning him, leaving his wife and child behind without a father and husband to save myself because I was in that. And then to top it off at the end, they were like, and here are all your photos. And there are all my friends looking excited, holding onto their oars. There's me looking like a giant burst tire. It really spun me out seeing just how, you know, I'm wearing a helmet strap, helmet thing. It's under the
little
chin.
Pudding face.
Yeah, like, can we share these pictures on the Instagram?
I can try and find
please.
Them. I will be happy to share them, almost to take the sting out of it. But yeah, like the icing on the cake of fear of drowning was that. I even remember going for Sunday lunch afterwards and feeling just so horrified at myself.
Sick.
And going, I shouldn't have done that. I knew when I first jumped in the water that I wasn't going to enjoy that. And I love water and I love extreme sports, but I wasn't able to do that today. And I wish I'd done that instead of pushing myself and trying to prove I was okay, because I wasn't okay. I'm still not okay with it. Was the most awful, honestly, genuinely the worst day of my life, genuinely.
I mean, I think this is the thing. Like, we always get told, like, you regret more the things you don't do. And, like, sure, fine. But sometimes it's best just to fucking not. Yeah. And I think now there are some things I just won't do. I don't like hiking. I'm never going to go on a fucking hike. The idea of it is just horrendous to me. But the problem is I think sometimes it's so much about feeling like your body is stopping you. Mm-hmm. And it's not even necessarily that. For me, I think there's lots of people that, or lots of things that you think you can't do in your body. But I think I actually balance it with the things that you can do. I'm a strong swimmer. I'm really comfortable in the water. When George and I first started going to Turkey on our retreats, the first time we went on a boat trip, we were on the boat with lots of other people. There were men being like, oh, maybe we'll jump off the top. And I was just like, oh, we can jump off? Okay, great. I was the first one up on that railing, jumping off the top deck of this boat. And because I really love to do that sort of thing, and my body can do that, being fat has had no impact on my love of that sort of thing. But it's also okay to like balance it with the things you don't want to do. You don't have to do everything. And it doesn't always have to be about your body. But if something makes you feel uncomfortable in your body, I think it's okay not to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so the opposite. I like slide off a boat on holiday. I don't jump. I'm that person that's literally sliding off and then like
so cute
treading water. And my favorite thing when Hayley jumped off the boat was all the men were like, oh, a woman went first. And next thing we saw the crap Olympics, basically these men trying to fucking belly flop off the roof and half-ass diving to be like, don't worry, I've got a bigger dick than you. And Hayley's there in the water like, no, you don't.
Oh God, we had this amazing thing where like one day all the girls jumped off the boat because after like we'd been on a couple of holidays, George was also really comfortable jumping off. Fine, and that was like really it did take her a while. I wasn't gonna bring that up. And then a lot of our girls are confident, so you've got all these sort of fancy bougie fat women just getting straight up and jumping off, and then all the men sort of start lining up, and then we one day had a thing where they needed to be cheered every time they jumped off the boat. And I was like, this is men in a fucking nutshell. Women do it and they enjoy it with no drama and they just get on with their lives, and men have to have a cheering squad. Everybody needs to go for them to jump off the fucking boat. Oh, it was ridiculous. Why do men?
Am I a man? Because I would have quite liked that.
Yeah, maybe you started it. You and your big giant man dick. Right, I think that's a good place to end. If you guys would like to follow us or tell us about any of your travel adventures, hit us up on @FatChatPod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
So those are kind of like some of our fun stories, some of our slightly sad stories. But obviously, when you're traveling, it's not always just about you. Sometimes there's that kind of culture clash or cultural reactions. You know, we're used to attitudes in our own countries. But when it comes to traveling in different countries, you really have to be aware of cultural differences. So, Hayley, what sort of things have you experienced?
I mean, I think because I grew up not in the traditional Western world, I grew up in Africa, but people of size are not unusual in Africa. There are a lot of plus size people in sort of South Africa where I grew up and stuff like that. So in that way, my body was never that remarkable. You know, sometimes the bluntness of how some people would describe it was perhaps remarkable, but there was no real shock around it. But I definitely felt that much more when I traveled in Asia, because there just aren't people that look like me over there. You know, I'm very pale. I'm quite tall. I'm a large woman. I have gigantic amounts of red curly hair. I'm pretty much the opposite to what the majority of people in Asian countries look like. So I am a bit of a spectacle when I'm traveling around. Like, I'm a spectacle anyway. You know, there was a lot of curiosity, and I try to take that as the fact that it is curiosity. When you see something you've never seen before, it is going to surprise you. And, you know, I live in London now. It's a very metropolitan place. Even when my friends come over here on holiday, the stuff that turns their heads, and we don't even bat an eyelid about it, because somebody walking down the road, I don't know, with like a Mohican hairstyle and covered in tattoos, it's just London.
Yeah. Or in Twitter. Him with a ferret on a lead. Normal.
Normal. Shout out to Robbie. No. But it can be a little overwhelming. When I was traveling in Asia, I kind of went off the beaten track quite a bit. So when you're in the big cities, they're quite used to Westerners and stuff like that. And or when you're in the big tourist centres. I spent some time, I think some of you may remember my King Kong anecdote when I connected with a woman in a spa about the film King Kong.
Also the train anecdote. Where were you going? To one of these remote places probably?
No, I was going to Koh Samui actually. I was just being cheap. When you get off the beaten path, there is so much attention. I went places where kids just followed me down the street and they wanted to just touch me. They wanted to touch my hair. And that can be, it can be quite difficult, but you have to kind of figure out how you deal with that. And I tried to like never take it personally. I've decided to travel to these places. No one's making me. I've come into their spaces. You know, they haven't come into mine. And I decide to think of it as not disrespectful. I'll pose for photos if that's what they want. I try to be kind. But yeah, I think it is something that you kind of need to be aware of.
Definitely.
I mean, George, you've done quite a bit of traveling in Asia, haven't you? Like, how did you find that experience?
So I definitely found the same experience in Southeast Asia. So I first went to Vietnam 7 years ago. And I think I didn't really utilize the power of the internet back then. But nowadays, I'd probably Google before going to a country just to see what other people's experiences are like. And that's definitely something I would urge everyone else to do. But when I went, I was there, red hair, pin-up dresses, tattoos, big boobs. People were laughing, staring, photographing, filming, which I found quite a lot. I did take it quite badly. I didn't know. Robbie was sort of like, they're reacting to you when they laugh. They don't mean anything rude by it. Just anyone a bit different, that's how they react. And to be honest, also a lot of people were like, please, can I have a photo with you? Please, can I film you? You must be so rich because you're fat, which I was like, sure, like, this is all great. I didn't know how to take it because obviously as a Westerner, as Hayley said, seeing all these different things, when someone's reacting to you with laughter, you take it quite badly. But they were just reacting. Wow, what is that? Probably the day I really felt my size was when I got on the back of a moped to go to get a dress made. Like Hayley's moped, it scraped the ground as I went. Then this woman had me undress in a room in a house somewhere where I didn't actually know where I was. She literally had to run around me with the tape measure to measure me. All of her female family seemed to be in the room in fascination as well, watching me. And I was just like, well, I'm something weird here.
I'm a curiosity.
Yeah, but it definitely made me a bit more prepared for when I went to Cambodia last year. And I definitely sort of expected the same thing. And the same thing did happen. And this time around, I more smiled and waved. And when I saw people pointing me out to their friends on the market, I just waved. I thought, yeah, sure, I'm dressed weirdly and have a look and, you know, go on fullerfigurefullerbus.com and give me a few likes on Instagram if you want. Yeah, I definitely like knew it would happen. And it's definitely not put me off Vietnam. It's somewhere I would love to go back to. But it's just worth doing that research and knowing what you're up against and knowing that when people laugh, they're just reacting to you. You're something they haven't seen before, and that's okay.
They're also maybe a little nervous. You know, what if she sits on me?
Yeah, oh my God. I mean, probably I sat on a few of them and don't even know.
I mean, I love the fact that somewhere in Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, you guys are in people's photo albums. Like, people sit around on like a Christmas Eve and they talk about you guys.
I mean, Riv, Christmas Eve, not so big over there. But
George and Hayley, very big over there.
Yeah. Very big. Yeah.
We're not big in Japan, but we're big in Phnom Penh. And that's what matters.
I love it. I love it. That's the thing as well. It's also how you take it. And it's that cultural thing of realizing that, you know, you are a curiosity over there. I haven't really been to Asia. I've spent quite a bit of time in the Caribbean. Ooh. I know. Lucky bitch.
Bougie.
To me, a lot of it comes down to like if you grow up in like a warm weather climate and people are really comfortable with their bodies and they're used to having bodies out, people are used to wearing sleeveless clothes or maybe slightly less clothes or spending a lot of time at the beach. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are more accepting of different bodies in warmer weather, whereas I think growing up in the UK where it's fucking cold all the time and we barely ever get our bodies out and we don't see bodies a lot, we're a lot more like, oh my gosh, wait, there's arms and legs and tits, and we're just not used to it. Whereas I think, yeah, I've always found the Caribbean just very chill with different bodies and just no one really notices.
When you're traveling, different places fit for different people. Maybe you're gonna have to have a little bit more of your armor on when you're traveling places like Asia where you're more of a curiosity, and the Caribbean things can be really open and welcoming. And maybe if you haven't done much traveling or if you're in a state where you're feeling slightly more self-conscious in your body, that's a good place. The world is a really exciting place where there's lots of different things. And our main thing here is that like we've tried really hard not to allow our bodies to hold us back and not to allow other people's reactions to our bodies to hold us back. And we just really hope that you can take that into like whatever traveling you want to do. You don't have to wait mm-hmm. to be in a different body to do the things and have the experiences you want to do. Like George and I both traveled through Asia. We were both fat. We're both in people's photo albums, perhaps on mantelpieces.
And that's the moral of the story.
And we both survived it.
And we'd both definitely go back. Wouldn't we?
Oh, tomorrow. Let's go. Come on, girls, pack your suitcases.
Mainly because they know that they have adoring fans out there. That's all.
So, guys, for this week's self-care tip, we thought we would share with you two things each that we would never dare go on holiday without. So, Rivki.
I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac.
You're in good company.
And I also like to be prepared. So whilst I can always get my clothes down to a very precise, you know, capsule wardrobe, I plan my outfits for every day of the holiday.
You're not in good company anymore, Rivki. Sorry, okay.
I will take about 3 or 4 massive makeup bags of preparation of stuff. Anyone would think that I was going to war. So I'm just going to talk about two of the things that I take with me always. The first one is some kind of like TCP or disinfectant wipes, because I'm also quite klutzy and I am quite likely to injure myself at some point. Genuinely almost broke my elbow when I went to Mexico because I slipped going into the pool. This was on the first day. I'd only be with these new people for about a flight and 10 minutes and I fell straight on my ass and smacked my elbow and it grazed. I actually used the ice from my margarita to ice my elbow.
Listen to those first world problems. I had to ice my elbow with my margarita.
But then, yeah, I was really pleased I had disinfectant wipes because, you know, pools. And then the other thing I always take with me is Gaviscon sachets.
I'm
such a granny. Because, you know, eating a lot of different foods and then drinking quite a bit on holiday might get a bit of indigestion and, you know, helps you have a good night's sleep. So those are my top 2 things.
Fucking overindulge. I feel like the TCP is probably when you've had all the margaritas and then you fall over, but okay.
It's not true. It's a lie. It's a lie.
Go, George, go.
My 2 things are, number 1, an extension lead. It just means that you only need 1 adapter. Take a spare one just in case that one breaks or something else happens. But then you can plug
so
in
clever.
Phone charger, hair dryer, straighteners, whatever else you're charging, sex toys, everything else into that.
And not as daft as she looks.
I mean, and I look pretty daft. as proven in Asia. And the second one is hydration sachets. Genuinely saved my butthole, my life, my liver. In Cambodia last year when I did have quite horrific food poisoning, and yeah, I just hydration sachets in a drink. I got all that hydrating I need. If you're sweating more than normal, if maybe you are prone to a bit of a dodgy tummy when you're overseas, if you got a bit drunk and you just want to make sure you're feeling lively without having to like head to a pharmacy, those 2 things, take them with you. Extension lead, hydration sachets.
So this...
Oh.
That is the sound of the little bag that I take with me everywhere. I think it's from having done quite a lot of traveling. I don't go anywhere without any of those first aid things. I would take charger, a portable charger,
yes.
always.
Yes.
Conditioner. I do not trust other countries' hair conditioner. I take vats of conditioner everywhere I go. And I'm having a third thing. I absolutely love the sort of light cotton towels that you get in Turkey. I'm taking my own pool towel. Thank you very much. And I will not be having an argue about this because this episode is running long, so there's not time for that. So, okay, Riv has already tantalized us with her amazing capsule wardrobe skills. So, what are we doing for fashion this week, Riv?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about what you should and shouldn't be packing for when you go on holiday. Firstly, if you're like a big Instagram-y type and you like to share lots of pictures for your holiday, I totally get that you want a different outfit for each day. So still take a different outfit for each day, but I plan them. So I know exactly kind of what I'm doing and I just lay them out and I think of like what outfit I'm going to wear when, and I only take those so I'm not taking like millions and millions of extras. Secondly, though, you don't ever need as many shoes as you seem to pack in your suitcase.
Like, that is so true.
I'm always like, oh, I should definitely take these wedges that I've taken to every holiday I've ever been on and never fucking worn on holiday. So they're no longer permitted to come with on holiday because I have never worn them on holiday. Get some nice sparkly sandals that you can wear day to evening. It's hot. Your feet have probably swelled. You might have a few drinks. You don't want to fall over and need that TCP that you've also taken on every holiday with you. It's holiday. Relax. Also, I always think, oh yeah, accessories. I need 6 million bangles because I want to jazz up my outfit. Again, it's hot. You're not going to want all the jewellery. So just, it weighs so much in your suitcase. Just don't take it. Plan your outfit. Also, you don't really need a pair of trousers for each day. If you're going for a week, take 3 pairs, a couple of nice tops. You do need quite a few swimming costumes or bikinis if you're going to be by the pool. At least half for the number of holiday days that you're going.
Not one a day like I do?
No. This is the thing. I think we pack so much and then we always have our favourite outfit. And I think especially if it's something you've taken on a previous holiday and then not worn, don't pack it again. Mm-hmm. Because you know you're not going to wear it. Be strict mm-hmm. with yourself. And also it means that you're leaving room to bring back unnecessary toot that you don't need, and we all love that. I love bringing back souvenirs, so make sure you've got souvenir suitcase space. But I will put some of my favorite capsule wardrobe pieces onto Fat Chat at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're on the Patreon, I'm going to do a video and show you what I'm taking on my staycation,
guys. It's that time.
No,
it's time for Just the Tips.
Just the Tips. Just the Tips. Just the Tips. Hey, wow. You said I couldn't do a song, so I did a song.
We are rebranding every tip section from now on as Just the Tips. So, Riv.
Okay, first up, don't be afraid to get in contact and ask questions beforehand. I know that we all love to be spontaneous on holiday and think, well, hey, I'm feeling wacky. I've had too much tequila. Let's go bungee jumping. But
not a serving suggestion.
Not that you'll be very sick. But if you know that your body might be a barrier, your weight might be a barrier, there might be weight limit questions, get in touch beforehand because you don't want to spend time traveling there, book things in, and then not be able to do it. Sometimes it's okay to just be prepared and find out. But also before you get your hopes up or, you know, you block out time when you could have been going off and doing something completely different. So get in contact, ask questions. They'll probably be completely used to it and you'll also feel more at ease. George.
So you need to own it. Own that you might have to change a few things. There might need to be adjustments made. It's something we talked about in our spa episode when we said maybe you'll need bigger towels or bathrobes. It's something we spoke about in our work episode when we said maybe there's different things you might need around your office. You just have to own that your body might not be the same as someone else's body. It might not be able to do the same things. It might require slightly bigger or slightly different things in order to make you comfortable. Do it. The worst thing is staying silent and being uncomfortable. People can see you're bigger. So what? You needed something changed.
Also, just do your research. Just like look stuff up online. You don't have to rely on companies. Find, you know, there's loads of plus size travel bloggers. There's loads of plus size people who go on holidays, who do these things. You can find out lots before you go away. You can ask the question in the Fat Chat community group. We often get the question about like Disneyland and Disney World and whether people fit into rides. I had this exact same concern when I went to Disneyland Paris a couple of years ago, and I found out beforehand that all their rides are quite roomy, which meant that me as a size 22, 24 person was fitting into them comfortably, and it really put my mind at ease. So, you know, knowledge is power. Like knowing if and when you're going to be comfortable or what might be a problem is really helpful.
And again, going back to that whole do your research and get in contact, if you find out that actually they probably won't have a wetsuit in your size or you need bigger dressing gown or something like that, then at least you'll know to bring your own, and that gives you the option because they will exist in your size. If that company doesn't have it, but you've kind of done all your prep work and you know you're going to need it, now the onus is on you. Is do you go and rent it, buy something, get something before your holiday, and that way you can still do the activities that you want to do.
And make sure you're not going on your holiday with people who you don't feel safe with. We don't get enough holidays, is my belief. And you know, you don't want to waste them spending time with people you can't completely relax around. And I, for example, went on a girly holiday last year with four friends who are a lot slimmer than me, and I was just really honest about some of the things. I was really honest, can I sit in the front for this thing here, I'm nervous about that, oh, I can't actually walk that fast, or I need to stop and put a bit more chub rub relief on. I was just really honest about what my body might need, how I might feel conscious, how I didn't want to sit in that chair because it looks spindly, could I just swap with you in this restaurant, because I wanted to be comfortable. And they in smaller bodies may not have thought about some of those things, and of course they were happy to do those things because they were my friends and I was on holiday with decent, kind people. So make sure you are doing the same thing.
Also, you just need to get some perspective. Sometimes you will try things and they won't work. Sometimes you will find that you don't fit through the barrier at the roller coaster, or the, you know, you can't fit in the seat on the rocking boat or whatever. I just think that we still have to try things, though. You will live through that discomfort or embarrassment. We can all attest to that. We've all lived through things that have been embarrassing or uncomfortable. Like, no one has actually died of embarrassment. And you're going to probably remember it a lot longer than anyone else does. You're the one who's going to be obsessing about it. Nobody else is. So I think just do try things. I've done things that I didn't think I'd be able to do. And because I had the nerve to try them, I got to do them. So yeah, just get some perspective. It's not the end of the world.
And worst comes to the worst, you can make a whole podcast and tell the world about them. You know what I mean?
But for the love of God, if you don't want to do things, stop giving in to peer pressure. Like,
amen.
I get it. It's so, so easy to be like, oh no, I have to go potholing because everyone's telling me it'll be amazing, or I need to go on this banana boat because otherwise I'll miss out and I'll regret it forever. I promise you, you really won't regret being thrown into the sea, being hit on the head by a banana boat and wondering if you're going to, you know, drown. You'll be fine. If you don't want to do it, just don't do it. If you know it's going to be something you don't enjoy, don't enjoy it. That doesn't mean you should never feel the fear and do it anyway. I feel that constantly and I still do stuff. But if you know you're going to hate it, just know.
Don't fucking do it. Every week we shout out some brilliant accounts we think you should be following, because the only diet you need to be on is a social media diet. Yes. This week we are shouting out Comfy Fat Travels. Jay Aprilio is the person's name. They are a trans, non-binary fat person who talks all about traveling and experiences traveling. Obviously, their content in the last 6 months has been a little less on the travel side. But if you scroll back, they've had loads of adventures, and it's just really amazing and inspiring account to follow, just to see how people can and do travel in their fat bodies.
Well, guys, that was a bumper episode, but as you heard, we had a lot to get through. Hopefully, a lot of that will resonate with you, will set your minds at ease. And obviously, we want to keep the Fat Chat going, so please, if anything resonated with you, we are at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course, the Fat Chat community is growing and growing, and we want it to keep growing, so pop on over to that. And if you have any friends that you think they really would benefit from listening to this podcast, anything that we talk about could resonate with them as well, could be helpful to them, then please do spread the word of Fat Chat, the gospel of Fat Chat. We're not expecting you to go door knocking, that's next month, but you know, do let people know about the podcast. Tell your friends, send them a link, and we will love you. You will be firmly in the squishterhood for doing that. And if you fancy more Fat Chat, we would totally love it if you joined our Patreon. Just head on over to patreon.com, search for Fat Chat, or check out the episode notes. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast, and we have got new episodes out every Tuesday. And remember to subscribe to us wherever you're listening. And if you're on Apple and you're loving it, give us 5 stars. Go on, leave us a review. Maybe we'll be reading it out. And here are some awesome reviews that we have got this week from our glorious international listeners. We're going overseas, where we wish we could go.
This one comes from Mother of Agnes, also via Apple Podcasts, and she's from South Africa.
Woo, from my hood.
And she says, thank you, love you girls, and thanks for making me feel like part of a fabulous community, which is exactly what we wanted. So thank you.
Amazing. And finally, we've got Andrea Lee from Australia, who says, this is the best podcast ever. OMFG, this is the best podcast ever. These women are the perfect combination of humor, intelligence, sass, and heart. I love, love, love this show and can't wait to listen to all of it. Oh, we hope we've caught up, Andrea. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much. That is all for this week.
See you next Tuesday.